reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district, down upon the Arba, and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which make it fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Verbum Domini. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building, according to the grace of God given to me. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. Verbum Domini. Today marks the anniversary of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. Its original name was the Basilica of Our Holy Savior, and it was consecrated in the year 324. The title St. John is in honor of both St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. And Lateran is simply the name of the Roman family who owned the property that the basilica is standing on. And for the first 3 centuries, because of widespread Christian persecution, it wasn't possible to build large churches, large noticeable churches, to offer worship to God. But of course, that changed with Emperor Constantine and the Edict of Milan in the year 313. And then big churches began to be built, and Christianity was tolerated. And St. John Lateran is one of the 4 major basilicas in Rome and is actually the Pope's cathedral, where his cathedra is located, which is the chair symbolic of his authority. The Basilica of St. John Lateran was also the residence of the Pope for more than 1,000 years. And the Roman Pontiff would eventually move to reside at the Vatican. And we celebrate this dedication or consecration of this particular Basilica of St. John Lateran as it shows our union with Rome. And it's fitting today, as we celebrate this feast, to look at the spiritual significance of churches and also the temple as we see it in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the Jewish temple was a holy place. It was a place where one would go to encounter the presence of God. It was where sacrifices were offered to God. It was a place of prayer, a place to worship God. Of course, we know that God is present everywhere. He is omnipresent. And we're also reminded of his presence by the beauty of the universe, which he created and keeps in existence, right? When Jews would go to the temple, they'd be reminded of the presence of God, because that was a special, particular place of God's presence. But we also know that there's nowhere we can go in this universe that God is not present. St. Augustine, in one of his sermons said, "Question the beauty of the earth, question the beauty of the sea, question the beauty of the air, amply spread everywhere. Question the beauty of the sky, question the serried ranks of the stars. Question the sun, making the day glorious with its bright beams. Question the moon, tempering the darkness of the following night. Question the animals that move in the waters, that ample about on dry land. Question all these things. They all answer you, 'Here we are, look, we're beautiful.' Their beauty is their confession. Who made these beautiful, changeable things, if not the one who is beautiful and unchangeable?" So in these words, St. Augustine is emphasizing that the beauty of creation points us to the Creator, right? It reminds us of God's presence. Similarly, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity would say, "To me, all of nature seems so full of God. The wind that blows through the great trees, the little birds that sing, the beautiful blue sky, all this speaks to me about him." So again, we're reminded of God's presence when we encounter creation, the beauty of creation. But we also go to our churches to encounter the presence of God in a very particular way, because God is substantially present in our tabernacles. Indeed, again, our churches are very privileged places. In our offertory hymn today, the choir will sing the hymn "Locus Iste," which means "this place," right? This place was made by God. It's a reference to Genesis chapter 28 when Jacob had his dream. Remember, he had the dream of the angels ascending and descending from the ladder that connected heaven to earth. And when he woke from that dream, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And surely this can be applied to our churches, right? This is the house of God. This is a place of prayer. This is the gate of heaven, especially in the Mass, where heaven and earth are united. In addition, as we celebrate today's feast, St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that we also are temples of God. We became so when we are baptized and the Holy Trinity came to dwell within us. And when we are in a state of grace, God's presence dwells in us. And the call is for us to continue to grow in this divine life. The vision described in the first reading today from Ezekiel has been compared to what happens as one does grow in a spiritual life. In the vision, the prophet Ezekiel saw a flow of water trickling out from the side of the temple toward the east. And as it flowed further out, it grew deeper and deeper and brought life and health to all that it came in contact with. It made salt waters fresh and allowed the fish of the sea and the trees along the bank of the river to grow abundantly. And this is a good image of the divine life and the working of grace within us. It starts very small as a trickle, but it's meant to continue growing deeper and deeper as we grow in the spiritual life. And the Lord wants to use each of us as his instruments to help bring life and spiritual health to those we come in contact with, just as we saw in Ezekiel's vision of water flowing from the temple. And in the gospel today, our Lord cleanses the temple by overturning the tables and driving out the money changers. It's been noted that the problem is not the fact that they are selling animals for sacrifice. That actually was a service, right? So people didn't have to bring live animals with them to be sacrificed in the temple, especially when they're traveling, some of them, for very long distances. So the problem is not that they're selling animals. The problem is where they are selling animals. That's the problem, because it's distracting people from prayer. It's not allowing them to pray. And it's been noted by scholars that where these tables were probably set up was in the outer court, and that was designated for the Gentiles to offer worship to God. So again, it was prohibiting them. It was an obstacle to them from offering worship to God, to entering into prayer and praying to God. That's why our Lord says, "Stop making my Father's house a house of trade." So our Lord drives them out to purify and cleanse that area, again, that was set aside to be a place of prayer rather than a busy and loud marketplace. So again, today, as we're reminded that we are temples of God, we ask for the grace to cleanse and purify our hearts and to make them more fitting houses of prayer where God's presence dwells, right? Because we are also temples of the Holy Spirit. And that a zeal for his Father's house consume the Lord, we ask that we might also have zeal in driving out any disordered attachments or obstacles in our lives that hinder us from being houses of prayer. And finally, we can be motivated in light of today's gospel and in light of today's feast to cultivate a greater spirit of reverence and devotion in our churches and chapels, as this truly is a house of God. This truly is a house of prayer, a place where our God dwells substantially in our tabernacles. Our Lord waits for us here. As St. John Vianney would say, "If you pass a church, go in to greet our Lord. Could you pass by the door of a friend without saying hello to him?" We draw our strength from our visits to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament throughout the day, as we bring before him all of our needs, our struggles, and trials. And we rely upon the grace that we receive from him in our chapels, particularly at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So as we will say after communion today, we pray that by our partaking of this holy sacrament, we may be made the temple of his grace and enter the dwelling place of his glory.